Your today should never be less than your yesterday. Your yesterday should never be better than your today. No matter how great yesterday was, once it is gone, it means you are prepared for a new dimension. You believe that? Say amen. I want to talk on the subject of increase. Proverbs 4 and verse 18, I quoted this a few minutes ago. It says, the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more. It keeps shining, it keeps shining, it keeps shining. I'm prophesying to someone, it keeps shining until the perfect day. You believe that? Say amen. In Job chapter 8 and verse 7, very profound scripture. It says, though thy beginning be small. That means it matters less how you start. Starting is very important, but it's not as important as continuing and finishing. The Bible is full of people who started in various ways. Some started their journeys out of wedlock. Some started their journeys out of idolatry. Some started their journeys in ignorance. Some started their journeys in the middle of all kinds of mistakes. But the Bible says, though your beginning be small, it says your latter end should. It didn't say your latter end will increase. Your latter end is expected to be greater. Now, but whether or not it becomes great is up to you. Though your beginning be small. Do we have it? Okay, beautiful. It says your latter end should. When the Bible says something should, it means there is an ideal, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you end up being that way. Are we together? Yeah. Your latter end should greatly increase. God is a God of increase. Psalm 71 and verse 21 is a profound scripture. It says, thou shalt increase my greatness and you shall comfort me. That means one of the justifications of the gift of time is that increase comes as a report card. Meaning every time is given to you, among the many things that should happen with time and in time is increase. There are many things that the Bible expects to happen to a man with time, in time, through time. One of it is growth. One of it is increase. One of it is wisdom. One of it is experience. That means if God gives you the gift of time and these things are not captured in your life, then you wasted time. You don't say someone wasted time just because he did not meet an appointment. You wasted time if you fail to use it as a tool of investment to acquire wisdom, to acquire experience, to grow, and to increase. Are we following now? Praise the name of the Lord. So God is a God of increase. It's important for us to understand this. God is a God of increase. An increase is part of our divine mandate. Among the many things, the expectations that God has for the believer, doubling also as God's command to the believer, is to increase. In Genesis chapter 1, 26 to 28, he spoke to man and he said, be fruitful, be fruitful, be fruitful, be fruitful. In John chapter 14 or 15, from verse 1 down to 16, if you read, in fact, Jesus began to speak and he said, I am the vine. He said, and my Father is the vine dresser or the husbandman. Then it says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit. You see that? He will pluck and cast away and so on and so forth. And when we get to verse 8, he said, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. We jump to verse 16, John 15, 16. It says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit will remain. Hallelujah. So God is a God of increase. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, the Bible speaking about Jesus, he said Jesus increased. Even Jesus increased. He increased in wisdom. He increased in stature. Are we Bible students? He increased in favor with God. So God is a God of increase. An increase is part of our mandate. There are many promises in the Bible that speak to the fact that believers should grow. Believers should increase. But I will tell you this. Why does God desire for believers to increase? It's important for us to know why God wants us to increase. Because if you don't connect your purpose to a divine motivation, you will find yourself wasting your time. Why does God want you to increase? Is it just so you'll be a big man, a big woman, and all of that? No. The primary reason for the increase of the saints is that God will get glory through our increase. This is very important. Are we together? Every kind of increase, like you'll be learning shortly, increase is dimensional. There is increase and growth spiritually. There is increase and growth biologically. There is increase and growth intellectually or mentally. There is increase and growth financially. Is that right? There is increase and growth in terms of longevity. Longevity and extension of your days. There is increase and growth in terms of health and vitality. So when we talk about increase, your mind should not just peg it at finance. No. It should be increase on all sides. Say all sides.
All sides.
Prophesy. Say all sides.
All sides.
That means no area of your life should fail to increase. And should, in case there is an area that has failed to increase, in the name of Jesus, we came to push that area to go forward.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. The Bible is full of all kinds of promises of increase. Jesus himself demonstrated increase in many parts of the Bible. When you read, you find Jesus talking about increase. For an example, in Matthew 14 from verse 16. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. This was after he was done preaching. Remember the story? He calmed them for 3 days. When they were done, they were hungry. And the disciples said, listen, hungry people are angry people. Dismiss these people quietly. The crusade is over. And Jesus said, no, they need not go this way. He said, let them come so that we'll feed them. And they said, this is suicidal. Even a year's wages will not be enough to feed these people. You will lead to chaos and anarchy here. And Jesus said, let them sit down. And then Andrew found a young boy having 5 loaves and 2 fish. I hope you know that there were 2 of those incidences. There was one that had 5 loaves and 2 fish. But there was the other one that had 4 loaves. And then the Bible does not specify the amount. Or is it 7? 4 and 7. I know there were 2 incidences. So this was 5 loaves and 2 fish. The Bible says they collected it from the young lad. And Jesus, who is the God of increase, demonstrated his desire for increase, meaning nothing should be left the way it came. The Bible says he lifted it up and gave thanks, and he gave the people, and as they began to distribute, 5 loaves and 2 fish increased, and it fed everyone within that place. And there were 12 baskets that were left. Remember the story of Elijah. After brook cherry dried, the Bible says God sent him to a widow in Zarephath. He gets to Zarephath and he meets a woman who is about to eat the last morsel of bread and drink of the water and die with her only son. And he said, give me water. And she was trying to bring the water. He said, let me have bread too. She said, my Lord, if we eat this, this is all we have. He said, surely, no. Not when I'm representing the God of increase. He says, the flour will not be spent. Hallelujah. So God is a God of increase. It's important for you to know this. Jesus himself increased. God demonstrated increase. Jesus himself taught on increase. In Matthew chapter 25, when you read from verse 14 down to 30, we call it the parable of the talents. Jesus demonstrated the desire for increase. Hallelujah. So the Bible tells us that in the parable, a man came and gave unto 3 of his people. He gave unto one 5 talents. He gave unto one 2 talents. He gave unto one 1 talent and went his way. He expected increase from them. He didn't tell them, go and increase it. He just gave them and left with an expectation. The Bible says later on he would return. And he said, all right, let me see. I'm not interested in what you gave me. I want to see what was added to it. The man with 5 talents brought 5 more. And he said, well done, good. And he didn't say smart businessman. He said, for bringing increase, good and faithful servant. The one who had 2 brought 2. He said, good and faithful servant. But the one who had 1 talent, he came and said, I know you are a hard man. You like to reap where you did not sow. And so I buried your talent. Here it is. And he called him wicked and unprofitable servant. He took of that 1 talent and gave the man who had 10. God is a God of increase. One time Jesus was hungry and he was passing and he saw a fig tree. And the Bible even said that was not the time of figs. But provided the fig tree was taken from the earth, Jesus expected something from it. And he looked at it, he saw lush green leaves, but there were no figs, and he cursed it. He said, no man eats from you from thence. And by the morrow when they came, they saw the tree withered, and they were surprised. That's how intolerant God is with the matters of stagnation, lack of increase. I prophesy over your life, whatever has kept you in one place, that the only thing growing in your life is your age. In the name that is above all names, I pray for you, every aspect of your life will begin to grow. You will increase on all sides in the name of Jesus. Please be seated. Though your beginning be small, some of you, it may be for you, though your beginning be sad, though your beginning be disappointing, though your beginning be embarrassing, though your beginning may be in ignorance, though your beginning may be as an unbeliever, the Bible says, regardless how you start, provided you have started. I hope you know you don't start the day you want to start. You start the day you are born. The moment you are born, the clock ticks. Whether you are aware you have started or not, it is up to you to realize early and fast, and then make use of the time left. Some people realize they have started when they are 50. Some people realize they have started when they are 10. Some people realize when they have started. The young boy, Samuel, he realized he had started early. When he had that voice, he went to Eli and he said, I hear a voice. He said, no, go and sleep. He heard the voice again and he said, speak, Lord. He started very early. Some people started very late, like Abraham. It was at 75 that he had the call of God from all of Chaldeans, that he should go and he would make him a great nation. But the Bible says, regardless how you start. Apostle, you don't know how I arrived here. I came from this and that. No. Though your beginning be small, though your beginning be shameful. Was there not a man in the Bible called Jabez? Have you read the story of a man called Jabez? The Bible starts by telling us the end of the man's story. It says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. But that was his later. It was not always like that. Then the Bible says, the boy Jabez was born, and the mother called him Jabez because he brought sorrow to her. But one day the man got angry. He said, my life cannot remain like this. I can't keep growing, carrying a curse on my head. Though my beginning be small, I can change that name. And he cried unto God. He says, oh, that thou wouldest bless me and enlarge my cause, that your hand will be upon me and that it will be well with me. And the Bible says God heard him. Did you not read about a woman called Esther? Esther was a village girl in Shushan. Never believed she would become a queen. Maybe she went to sleep like any other lady and kept having dreams and visions of herself on the throne. I'm sure she must have wondered, how will I ever get there? But though your beginning be small, the Bible says your latter end. Who is learning now? One day, the Bible said, something happened. And the king threw away Vashti, and they called on all the virgins, and she happened to be one of the ladies. You can imagine, one among, let's say, 100 ladies. What was your chance of meeting the king? First off, you were not born with a silver spoon. This was kings, those days were like gods. And while every other lady was all celebrating and rejoicing in the simplicity of her heart, the Bible does not record, but I believe Esther was saying, though my beginning be small. I hope you know that before Esther went before the king, other women had gone. And the king was writing their names. But as soon as Esther showed up, with the mentality that though my beginning be small, God is a God of increase. Is someone learning now? How about the church? The church of the Lord Jesus Christ was born with 120 people. And on the day of Pentecost, with one sermon, 3,000. Now you look at that ratio. From 120... It was not 240. It was not 360. It was not 480. 3,000. God is not against your increase. I'm telling you, if you plant 2 ears of corn or 2 seeds, corn seeds, do you reap 4? Do you reap 3? You see that now? Everything fighting your increase. In the name that is above all names, I pray for you from my heart. May the God of heaven clear it out of the way. Apostles themselves experienced increase. The early church, after the initial 3,000, the Bible tells us the Lord added daily. Is that in your Bible? Who added it? The Lord added daily as many as should be saved. Then the Bible makes a very profound statement. This was Paul who was speaking. He said, I, Paul, have planted. He said, Apollos has watered, but God gave the increase. Who gives increase? Meaning if you are promoted by next week, who increase you? It's important to know who gives increase, because promotion does not come from the east, nor the west, nor the south. No. Promotion comes from God. When you see a man lifted, it is God that lifted that man. When you see a family go forward, regardless their background, don't ask how did it happen. The Bible says, just as you do not know how bones are formed in the womb of her that is with child, nor the way of the wind, so you do not know the works of God. I'm saying this to somebody because I believe tonight you will contact a grace for increase. And in the name of Jesus Christ, your life will first surprise you before it surprises every other person. Hallelujah. You believe that? Increase is multidimensional. There are many things the Bible tells us can increase. I will list a few of them for the sake of time. Faith can increase. Luke 17 and verse 5. Faith can increase. Greatness can increase. Psalm 71, 21. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Wealth can increase. Genesis 26 and verse 13. A man can increase in substance. A man can increase in abundance. Knowledge can increase. Colossians chapter 1, 9 to 10. Paul was praying over the church in Colossae, and he prayed that they will increase. They will increase in knowledge. A man can increase in knowledge. Are we learning now? So faith can increase. Greatness can increase. Wealth and abundance can increase. Knowledge can increase. You can increase in the fear of God. Are we together? You can increase in influence. You can increase as far as the length of your days are concerned. Let me define for you what increase is. Then I will show you a few principles. If God is talking to you, say amen. This is my definition of increase: to become progressively greater in size, in number, in volume, and in intensity. To become progressively greater in size, progressively greater in volume, progressively greater in intensity, progressively greater in influence. You must be progressive. Once you are not progressive, it is not increase. The character of increase is that you must be progressively greater. You are this level today. Tomorrow you are this level. Next tomorrow you are this level. When we think we are done seeing you, you are this level. Now that's increase there. Not going up and going down. Going up and going down. Rising and falling is not increase. Is someone learning now? Progressively greater in size, in number, in volume, and in intensity. You can't say you are 20 years old and there is nothing to show for it. A 20-year-old child that cannot walk, cannot talk, with all due respect, you see that we call them special children. It's a way of showing that we honor them. But that shows that something is wrong. Is that not so? Yes, nobody expects, no mother gives birth to a child and you ask the child, how are you? And the child replies, fine. Wouldn't you run away? No matter how intelligent that child is, increase is a process progressively. But after 4 months, 5 months, the mother is watching for evidences of increase. The boy begins to say, ba, ba, ma, and they say, ah, they are rejoicing. As nonsensical as that statement is, the mother is signs of increase. One day the child will attempt to walk and fall down. Attempt to walk and fall down. And in a few years, he's running around, throwing everything in the house. It's still increase. Now, let me tell you something with increase. Increase is time dependent. Meaning, not every time is available for increase. There are times that time will pass and it makes increase very difficult. That is the reason why God restores. And that's the reason why God gives speed. Is someone learning now? Yes. Somebody who learns how to play football at 55, even if he can hang the ball on his head and turn around and the ball does not fall, he won't play for Super Eagles. He won't play for any club. Not because something is wrong with his skill, but the time for that has passed. So the prayer is not just to have knowledge. It's that, Lord, let me have it on time. The Bible says, satisfy me early. Is someone learning? Praise the name of the Lord. Why does God want us to increase? So that he will be glorified. God is glorified through our increase spiritually. When you become vibrant, the Bible says, as newborn babes, it says to desire the sincere milk of the word, that by it you may grow. Your pastor is here. After many years of ministry, I'm sure he can tell you how he's watched many people come before God and watch those people grow progressively. And perhaps some of them have even become leaders in church. That's increase. That's growth. So when we talk about growth, we're not just limiting it to material things. In a much superior way, spiritual things. Your spiritual life. You can't be 10 years in Christ, 10 years in church, and yet you have almost zero knowledge. Spiritual intelligence, there's nothing there. Prayer life down, word study life down, love for Jesus down, passion for the house of God. You are not experiencing increase. Even if you are experiencing financial increase, relative to the increases that you must have, your spiritual increase is the greatest. It is the noblest. In fact, that is what powers every other dimension of increase. It says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. Even that means the standard is the prosperity of your soul. Are we together? Your wealth should never be greater than the wealth of your soul. If you are a billionaire financially, according to God's marking script, your billion matters less until your billion can match the billion worth of a man's spiritual vibrancy, even as your soul prospers. Your wealth, even as your soul prospers. Your education, even as your soul prospers. Now, increase depends on principles. Increase at any level depends on principles. And this is the core of my teaching tonight. The Holy Spirit impressed it upon my heart that if you want to see your today greater than yesterday, and if you want to see your tomorrow greater than today, then you must pay attention to these principles. Increase does not just happen. It takes more than desire for increase to happen. Desire is important, but it's not enough to bring a man into increase and greatness. It says, through desire, a man, having separated himself, he seeketh and intermeddleth with wisdom. If you're learning, say amen. Lift your voice and pray in 1 minute, and then I'll show you a few principles and we'll begin to pray. Lift your voice and pray. Open my eyes, oh God, that I may see. Open my ears that I will hear. In the name of Jesus, open my eyes that I will see. Open my ears that I may hear. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let me give you a few principles. There are at least 9 principles for increase. I may not be giving you all 9, but maybe we'll just do 4 or 5 or whatever number, because I want us to take some time to pray. But in the name of Jesus Christ, I believe the Lord sent me here as a prophetic midwife, because someone has been crying. Someone has been saying, Lord, I want you to be glorified in my life. My father did not amount to anything. My mother did not amount to anything. But now the ball is in my court. Help me, oh God. Someone will need to pray the prayer of Jabez today. Someone will need to contend to get angry in your spirit. There is a holy dissatisfaction. That, Lord, this parish is 20 years, but there is nothing to show in my life. I hold on to the horns of the altar. For your name's sake and for your glory, I pray and I cry unto you, move me forward. Move me forward. For someone who is already doing well, your prayer will be, shift me to another level. Shift me to another level. I always tell my people, nobody claps for you twice for the same level. Once they applaud you once, you remain there. And many of us have remained there. You've not backslidden, but you are not going forward. You see that now? The path of the just should be as a shining light. You should not be at any level. The level you started, I don't care what the story is. Wherever you are now tonight, we're going to call it your beginning. Even if it's 10 stories, we'll call it your beginning. One time I was in a particular nation and there was an elevator, and the elevator was almost, I think it was about 150 or 200 floors. And after you get to 70 or 80, you'll be looking at the world and yet you are halfway there. So the fact that you are at floor 80, you have done well, but there are still more heights. For someone, I came to provoke you. You have done well. Financially, you have done well. Spiritually, you have done well. But there are still more lands to conquer. There are still more lands to conquer. And I came to push you. Perhaps you have been discouraged, or perhaps you have been complacent. You know, sometimes we compare ourselves with ourselves, and then we say, I've done well. Even if you are at floor 80, remember, it's a 200. And sometimes in most, you know, most hotels of that sort, the restaurant is usually the last floor. That means you will not eat anything until you can get. You see that now? You can be at 80. And if you are hungry, you will still keep moving higher until you get to the last floor. Then a table is prepared for you. At that realm, there's no noise. The noise of jealousy, you've left it since. The noise of competition, you left it since. You sit down gallantly and you will eat and rejoice. Is someone learning? Praise the name of the Lord. Principle number one. For anyone who wants to experience growth or increase in every area of your life, the first key is your relationship with God. The strength of your relationship with God. The strength of your relationship with God. In John chapter 15, when you read from verse 1 to 5, particularly verse 4 and 5, Jesus made a very profound statement. Give it to us, please. I want us to read verse 4 and 5 for sake of time. John 15. He said, abide in me. Believers, please listen. Abide in me and I in you. He says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Man of God, you can't bear fruit of yourself. Every time you see results in righteousness, it's like a television. You don't, some televisions are so, the interior decor in some homes are so dexterous. You don't see a socket, but it is there. You just see the television and they cover everything, but make no mistakes. The television is not powering itself. There is something, the fridge, the microwave, everything that works, even if it is new, it must be connected to source. It says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abides in the vine, he said, no more can ye except you abide. Okay, beautiful. We have it projected. Let's go to verse 5 now. Verse 5. I am the vine and ye are the branches. He said, he that abideth in me and I in him. Read with me. The same, not another, the same. If he's a businessman, the same businessman. The same preacher, the same daughter, the same son, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. This is a very powerful scripture because we live in an arrogant world where we pride ourselves with all due respect on degrees and qualifications and human connections. And these things are not wrong in themselves. But I've lived a bit to see the vanity of depending on any other thing aside from God. He says, some may trust in horses and some chariots, but we will trust in the name of our God. Vain is the help of man. A man can promise you a job today and die that night. He was not wicked, he was just human. The one who keeps time, the one who is the keeper of life. He said, I lay me down and I slept. I waked because the Lord sustained me. Is somebody learning now? The depth of your connection to God, the depth of your relationship with God. This is not for preachers. We live in a world where people are embarrassed about demonstrating their commitment. And I'm not talking about fanatism. If I have to give up God consciousness to be your friend, you will never be my friend for life. Automatically, a gulf has been created between us. I will love you, but from afar. You see that now? Let me tell you this. Any other thing can fail, but the man who holds on to God, not to use him to get money, not to use him to get a job, not to use him to get children. You know, many times we come to God as an ATM machine, or we come to God as a ladder to help us climb certain heights. God, I want to climb this height, but it looks like I can't get there. Where are you? It's just that you call your ladder God. And after you climb there, you say, God, the day I need you again, I'll call you. We're talking about those who love him beyond things. Those who love him beyond money, love him beyond titles. Is someone learning now? I show you the way to get increase in this kingdom. Your heart must be genuinely connected to God. Your heart can be connected to ministry and not God. Your heart can be connected to service in the house of God, which is important, and not God. Your heart can be connected to a man of God and not connected to God. Your heart can be connected to the ritual of spiritual activities like prayer. I hope you know, as powerful as prayer, fasting, Bible studies, these things can become idols. You can worship prayer. You can worship Bible study. You can worship church attendance as an idol. They lead to a person. If you stop at the ritual, you did not meet the person. Is someone learning? And ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. If you search for me with part of your heart, you will not find me. If you search for me like an investor wanting to put money and get returns, you will not find me. If you search for me like somebody who is trying to carry an alternative system of advantage in case your brain fails, you run to God. No. God is calling someone tonight. Don't just admire what God is doing in the life of people. Return back. Let your love. If I stop here, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. Many things happen to lovers of God. There are many things you would not have to pray for if you genuinely love God. I'm telling you, many prayer points were supposed to be an answer in the realm of love. There are many things a man's wife does not ask for. A responsible man's wife, there are many things she does not pray for. A good man many times will come and surprise his wife and say, I decided to do this. What is the reason? I love you. There are many things God has in store for you. Did you ever read the scripture that says, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has in store? Not for everybody, not for believers, but for them that love him. For them that love him. Not for them that preach for him. Not for them that hold conferences for him. Not for them that sing for him, as wonderful as that is. Not for them that serve around his house. The psalmist was so much in love with God. David was called a man after God's heart, not a man of wisdom. Many people chose different parts of God, but this one chose the heart of God. It was him that sang and said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. Can you imagine that? He said, one thing I have desired, and that will I seek after, to inquire of your, you know, to be at your temple and to inquire of the Lord. You would hear him say things like, oh Lord my God, early will I seek you. My soul thirsts after you, as in a dry and a weary land, to see your power and your glory in my life, as I have seen in a sanctuary. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if I tell you the secret behind the little that you see God doing in the life of this man standing before you, it's not too much of intellect. There are principles, but the greatest principle I know is a functional relationship with a living God. The Bible says the people that do know their God, they shall be strong. Whether you are a businessman, whether you are a man of God, a woman of God, as you celebrate 20 years, you really want to desire increase, let me tell you this. Decongest your life and give space for God. This I am busy is an attack. Decongest your life. You will always have time for what you value. I am busy. I'm now a chairman. I'm busy. I'm looking for a political position. Reinvent your life. Because when you fall sick, you will have time for the hospital. When you fall sick, there are people who are busy, but the day they fractured their legs, they stayed quietly in the hospital for 3 months. They hung that leg there and they were grateful because they saw the value. You see that now? So most of these excuses we give, if someone wants to run and say, I'm busy, question, if they kidnap that person, will he not stay in one place? I wouldn't trade you for silver or gold. I wouldn't trade you for riches untold. You are my everything. For someone, let me encourage you, please get back to the place of his presence. For some of you, God sent me to remind you, because that's how you started. But as soon as you increased, you became distracted. administration can be a demon. It can steal away your love and your passion. Please look at me, women. Imagine a man who believes he's your husband and he comes home and is just interested in the kitchen. And he just says, honey, how are you? And he's straight, as soon as he gets to the house, he's on his way to the kitchen. He doesn't know whether children have eaten. He doesn't know whether school fees is being paid. You need that intimacy, koinonia. But the man is around and people can see from outside and believe that marriage is working well. Whereas you as the wife, you are the one who knows that you are dying. That's how it is with many people. Just because you are coming to church, just because your Christian name still stands, does not mean your hunger is still there. This is a very powerful thing. I'm dwelling here because this is one of the greatest secrets I know in my life. You can have all the principles for anything. In a strange way, the key will not open. But if you stay with him, he said, by you I can run through a troop. By my God I can leap. And there are many walls that will stand before you in your lifetime. Let me tell you, the walls of wicked men, the walls of sentiment. Someone will beat his chest and say, because you are not my tribe, you will not rise. But there is one who can stand behind you as a mighty, terrible one and clear every way for you to go forward. Matchless love and beauty, endless worth. Nothing in this world can satisfy. Jesus, you're the cup. Hallelujah. Very quickly, let me give you number two. So number one, the depth of your relationship with God. The first key that controls increase. The more you are connected to the vine, the more you receive of that which is with the vine, and you manifest it. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Number two, the second key is knowledge. You want to experience increase in your life, contend for knowledge. And knowledge here is at three levels. Please listen and then you write. There are three levels of knowledge a man must have to be a master in life and destiny. The first is the highest level of knowledge, which is the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. John 17:3. This is life everlasting, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus whom thou hast sent. This is life everlasting. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy, that is understanding. The highest level of knowledge a man can have on earth is the knowledge of God. Number two, the knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom, or the principles of the kingdom. This is the second level of knowledge. This is a realm higher than academic knowledge. This is a realm higher than scientific knowledge. This one is the knowledge of the laws of the universe. Job chapter 38 and verse 33. It says, knowest thou the ordinances of heaven, and canst thou establish the dominion upon the earth thereof? I wish we can read it from NIV or NLT. I like to juggle between those two versions when I'm quoting that scripture. It says, do you know the laws of the heavens, and can you use it to regulate the earth? This earth you see works by laws. These are the laws of the kingdom. Things don't just happen. Favor does not just happen. People don't just like you. They are made to like you. Doors don't just open because you want it to open. There are laws. And whether or not you know the laws, that's up to you. When you meet a woman or a man that has been trained to cook, how many of you know that they don't fidget when they're in the kitchen? They can tell you, what do you want? And you say, I want fried rice, or I want okra soup. And they say, give me 2 hours. Just get out of my kitchen and give me 2 hours. They are not hoping. They know you will enjoy it. It's called mastery, and it's by laws. Once upon a time, they did not know what to do, but they were trained. The Bible says, he that strives for mastery is not crowned until he strives lawfully. You must contend for knowledge. Number three, the third level of knowledge, still speaking about knowledge, is the knowledge or expertise in your field of endeavor. There's no increase for you if you don't gain competence and mastery in your field of endeavor. Your technical knowledge, knowledge in whatever area of endeavor, whether it's IT, whether it's tech, whatever it is, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the principles of the kingdom, and then expertise in your field of endeavor. Let me give you the third key. that controls increase. If you are learning, say amen.
Amen.
The third key is obedience. Deuteronomy chapter 30, please write for reference 15 and 16. The Bible makes a very profound statement there. Most people do not know that until you are determined to obey God, you cannot experience increase in your life. It's not enough to know the laws of the kingdom. You must obtain grace to walk in keeping with them. Obedience is powerful. He said, now that you know these things, happy, blessed are you if you do them. If you do them. He says, if you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Abuja has good. Lagos has good. But your portion will only come to you at the instance of obedience. Not desire. Obedience. Obedience. Number four. The fourth principle is faithfulness. Luke chapter 16 and verse 10. Faithfulness. There is no increase for an unfaithful person. Faithfulness. To make the most of what you have at the level you have. It says, he that is faithful in that which is least. It didn't say will be. Is already faithful in much. God measures your tomorrow by your faithfulness of today. God gives you 10 naira, you misuse it, you are not ready for 1,000. Believe me when I tell you that. God gives you 2 people under your care. You don't train them well, you will not have 10 people. Faithfulness is powerful. It's your official way of applying for more. Be faithful where you are. Be faithful where you are. Be faithful with what you have. Many times you see, we admire our tomorrow so much that we become unfaithful and careless with what God has given us now. You are trusting God to give you an estate, but in that one room, sweep it, clean it, give thanks, arrange the bed that is on the ground, wash the plates. That is your qualification for a duplex. No matter how hardworking you are, only a foolish man promotes unfaithfulness. You don't. There are many people today who have risen to managerial positions. They did not even start as employees. They started as extra other staff somewhere. Maybe they wash cars, but they were so faithful. A man who is faithful will always abound in plenty. You must receive grace to be faithful. Sometimes we complain too much. Lord, I don't have this one. Lord, I don't have this one. Lord, I don't have this one. I have only 2 pairs of clothes. Wash it and iron it and wear it with dignity and honor. You are the only one who knows you have 2. We don't know. We even think you have 10. Faithfulness can magnify the perception of you. Are we together? A faithful man shall abound. The wise use of things, the wise use of time, the wise use of resources, consistency, faithfulness. Number 5 is a very important principle for increase. It's called warfare. Increase is warfare. You have to understand this. No matter how innocent you are, when you are beginning the journey of your destiny, the bag that God will give you, where you search, you will see a warrior's garment. You will not need it at the point of the journey. But somewhere along the lines, you will get to a point in your destiny where you will see giants. And you say, God, what am I supposed to do? He will say, check the bag you started that journey with. And you will see that there is the warrior's garments that you must wear. Life and destiny actualization is warfare. I can tell you that for free. Warfare. Going forward, warfare. In Luke chapter 8, from verse 22 to 25, just right. Then we jump to 26 to 40. The Bible says Jesus, Luke 8, 22 to 25, 26 to 40. So the Bible says it this way, that Jesus said, let us go to the other side. He was desiring that they go to the other side. And the Bible says they got into a boat. And whilst they were going, there arose a storm of wind. You will think because it was Jesus, the storm should not arise. The storm arose for Jesus. There are many storms that show you are moving. There are people who don't have any challenge in their life. It's not because they are powerful. It's because they are not moving. A car that does not leave the parking lot will never have an accident. It will never even know there's something called an accident. So sometimes when you find some people in the middle of aggression, it's not disobedience. It's proof that they are making progress. Is someone learning now? Find comfort when you find yourself fighting. You may have heard me say, fight your battles with honor. Let naysayers talk while you fight. You came from a family of idolatry and witchcraft. Please fight by faith. While they are laughing, fight. Your children will thank you for it. Fight. Warfare. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9, it says, a great door and an effectual is open before me, but many are the adversities. Many, not few. A great door and effectual is open before me, but there are many adversaries. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, one of the reasons why you respect people who have gone ahead of you is not just because they are ahead of you, is because they have fought many battles you cannot see. You see, the garment of royalty can cover scars, but make no mistake, every overcomer has scars, including Jesus. In fact, the one way you distinguish Jesus as against every other person in heaven is by the scars on his hand, not just the crown on his head. There is a reason why, even though he is the fountain of life, that scar did not heal. It is a memorial that he's an overcomer. Is someone learning now? You will fight many battles, I can tell you. You will fight battles against thoughts. That's the first area of warfare. The first area of warfare is not against spirits. It's against limiting beliefs. Beliefs you inherited from your father that kept him poor, even though he was a good man. Limiting beliefs you inherited from your mother that made her to respond in a way that made the marriage not work, even though she was your mother. Limiting beliefs that made everybody around you hate God and not take God seriously. The real warfare, and the first one, is the warfare tearing down every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Is someone learning now? Belief systems, jealousy, envy, dishonor. These are belief systems you need to tear down. The belief system that makes you believe every young lady doing well, they say she must have met a man somewhere. No, don't carry your frustration and impart it on someone else. Every young man is not a thief. Are we together now? Oh, this man that is anointed, maybe he's the devil. No, belief systems. Why should I respect my husband? If I respect him, he will not listen. Belief system. Somebody counsel you into that kind of thinking, and you think like that and destroy your home. Why should I tell my wife, I'm sorry, I'm the man, I paid her dowry? Belief systems. You see that now? The warfare of fighting belief systems. Number two, the warfare against the antagonisms that come from men. That people will look at you and say, even you mean you are going to rise? Even you, Esther, who deceived you that Ahasuerus will like you one day? You think they did not tell Esther that? I'm sure when all the ladies were on their way going, someone looked at Esther and said, please don't embarrass yourself. Just stay back. Look at very correct ladies planning to go and see the king. She said, give me a chance. If he rejects me, no problem. Let me tell you this. If you don't build a thick skin against the opinions of men, you will not go anywhere. Most of the men who are talking to you and directing you are confused themselves. Let me just tell you, I can tell you this for free. 90% of those who are commentators of your destiny are confused. It is admiration that is making them put their mouth in the matters of your life. So you set your face like a flint and keep moving. The greatest response to naysayers is your progress. Are we together? The third level of warfare is you will fight against systems. There are systems. Corruption is a system, and it's already been set up. Now you get a job and you find out that everybody is collecting bribe, and they say, young lady, before you were born, this system is already, don't bring any church thing for us here. We're also, in fact, I'm a pastor. See, leave it the way you have seen it, like that. Warfare against systems. And then the final warfare is against demonic spirits. Have you seen the four levels of warfare? Thoughts, men and their opinions, the scourging tongues of men, and then systems that have been built to keep you perpetually in a particular state, and then demon spirits. Let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, demons are real. Spirits are real. They fight. Jesus acknowledged them. They are real. I can assure you, Apostle, but me, I've not had any attack. I didn't look for anybody's trouble. My sister, you don't need to look for anybody. Just be alive. That's it. Just be alive. One of these days, I can assure you, Satan moves like a roaring lion. You will be joking to believe he does not have plans for you. But thanks be to God, which causes us always to triumph. He says, say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. It is through the greatness of your power, Psalm 66 verse 3, that your enemies will submit themselves to you. When you find people go forward, it's not because Satan did not attack them, it's because they prevailed. They prevailed. Did you get what I'm saying? 20 years of this walk is because of the prevailing power of faith. He said, holding forth the shield of faith, wherein you shall quench all the fiery darts. All, sir. What does it take to be great? The capacity to fight limiting thoughts, the capacity to fight the opinions of men. The capacity to fight against systems. Do you know one of the reasons why Zechariah was made deaf and dumb? You know why? Because something was about to happen that had never happened, and he was occupying a position of priesthood. If he had used his mouth and spoken over John, he would have changed John's destiny. John was the one ordained to ordain Jesus, and he needed to agree with God. And the man said, what name is John? We don't have that kind of thing in our lineage. Some of you are the first to rise, and people are saying, this is strange. This family has been known for begging. What is this one that you are saying you will not beg? This family has been known for prostituting themselves. That's how they eat. Now you are rising and you are saying, I walk in righteousness. Let me tell you, it is going to be warfare. I assure you, these spirits will come to you in dreams. They will come, but you need to fight. That's why you must learn how to pray. You must learn how to contend. Is someone learning now? Just when they whisper that they want to promote you, a group of people will come together and tell your superior and say, are you sure you want to promote this lady? There's a part of her story you don't know. And the man says, she's qualified. But they will talk, and then those people will come and give you the keys of Judas. Warfare, sir. Warfare. We live in a world that is very wicked. The Bible says the whole world lies in wickedness. Is someone learning now? Yes. It says, but you stand behind me as a mighty, terrible one. I'm praying for someone who is going through a season of warfare. It looks like all hell has broken loose. There are thoughts that are fighting you. You will never amount to anything. Let me tell you, those thoughts are projected. You did not just think them. They are projected. He said, no weapon fashion. The weapons are not just arrows. The weapons are thoughts. Whilst the devil said, kill yourself. Kill yourself. Get pregnant out of wedlock. They are thoughts. But in the name of Jesus, we decree and declare, every thought that has been risen, projected by darkness to fight your destiny, we tear it down now. We tear it down now. We tear it down now. And we silence every accusation. You see, let me tell you this. When it has to do with the limitations of men, sometimes they are right, sometimes they are wrong, especially those who knew you before. It is dangerous to be around those who knew you yesterday when God is doing something new in your life. They will be the ones who say, no, but Saul, when did Saul start prophesying? Saul that we drank Gary together, when did you meet the Holy Ghost? But they did not know he was on a 3 days journey. When he encountered Samuel, they were not there. When David killed the bear and the lion, they were not there. Let me tell you this. Don't hate men, but be careful with men who know a part of you and do not know the part of the business you are doing with God for your greatness. There are times if God wants to lift you, God will temporarily take you away from those who know you. Do you know why God told? Listen, there was an instruction in Jericho to kill everybody who knew Rahab. You know why? Because God wanted to use Rahab. And if someone were there who knew her past, they would say, God, which one is this one? A woman who hung on the wall, a professional prostitute. But we know this lady now. Are you not the one who grew up in Lagos? So what? Are you not the one who was cleaning the floor? You are the owner of this car. So what? The fact that you did not believe in me does not mean God did not believe in me. Carry your unbelief and go away with it. Man. Now listen, don't go around hating people. but please build a thick skin. While they are there discussing how you will not rise, that is their business. That one is you and God. By the time you make it, they'll say, we knew it. If your pastor is to tell you his story, I am sure he would tell you, he and his wife, that there was a point in their life, somebody who knew you before will feel you are not qualified for where you are. And you know, those who know us before have a sarcastic way of looking at you when you are rising. They make those who are now honoring you to disrespect you. They bring their disrespect of yesterday. Oh God, this is the lady you want to marry, and you are even calling her, she now has an English name. I only know her tribal name, and I used to know her as a bush girl. So what? Beware of people when God is taking you higher. Love them, but if they are not going your direction, keep them there. When Abraham started his journey, Abraham carried all his servants, but when he got to the base of the mountain, he said, all of you who know me, stay here. I need to rise with my sacrifice alone. You love me too much and you will stop me. There are things you will tell me. You will remind me that I stayed 25 years before I got this child. You will stop me from obeying God. Warfare. Warfare. Let me tell you this. Anybody in your life who makes it a point of duty to always downplay you, demean you, please listen to me. Always, they find joy every time they see people celebrating you. They have to find something nasty. Love them, but receive grace tonight to cut away from them. Don't say we're in the same secondary school. So what? When you make it, you can come and lift them, but because you're on that journey, please leave them there. Hallelujah. They look at you while people are calling you Messiah. They say, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Warfare against spirits. Ladies and gentlemen, there are spirits that fight men. Usually these four forces work together. Somebody vows to lift you, and by night something happens to him, and he wakes up by the next day. You are calling him and he says, don't disturb me again. And you are wondering what changed. The man did not change. There was an influence that changed him. That's why your prayer life is your control room in destiny. That's where you arrange things the way they should be. Is someone learning now? You see, the thing about this warfare, bar, you don't fight it only once. You fight it per level. Per level. There are mountains that as soon as you step there, it's not an ovation you will receive. You will find giants that have been there. And yet God will tell you, let me show you something. Deuteronomy chapter 2. Don't forget this scripture for as long as you live. Verse 24. I have given you, but rise up. Begin to contend with him in battle. I've redeemed your family, but rise up and establish it. I've lifted you, but rise up. He said, rise up and begin to contend with him in battle. You know, most people say, I'm rising to my place in destiny. Let me tell you an honest truth. There is no place for any man anywhere. You create your space through the violence of faith. Believing there's an empty seat somewhere waiting for you is a joke. There's no empty seat anywhere. I can tell you this. You make room through your obedience. You shift things left and right and create a space for yourself. Right from the days of John the Baptist, he said, and until now, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent. Hallelujah. The last key, and we'll stop here, that controls increase is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Psalm 67, 5 to 7. Thanksgiving. Engaging the mystery of thanksgiving. Let the people praise thee, O God. And let all the people praise thee. Next verse. Then shall the earth yield her increase. And God, even our God. He says, our God shall bless us and the whole earth will fear him. Ladies and gentlemen, please look at me. Thanksgiving is a powerful mystery. You belong to a ministry that is deeply rooted in thanksgiving, that understands the power of thanksgiving. There are three levels of thanksgiving. You thank God before the journey starts as an act of faith that you depend on Him. You thank God while the journey is on as an act of faith that you know you will finish. And then you thank God when you are done with that level, after you are victorious, whether you are starting or continuing or finishing, you must give thanks perpetually. You must give thanks. Is someone learning? You wake up in the morning, thank you, Jesus. A job or no job, thank you, Jesus. You wake up and the devil is trying to sell you an idea. Lord, I give you all the praise. I give you all the glory. Thank you, Jesus. With my hands lifted, I thank you. Ah, you are thanking Him when you don't even have a job. You are thanking Him when they just fired you. Thank you, Jesus. Someone say that after me. Say, thank you, Jesus. Let me tell you this. Thanksgiving is very powerful. It's an act of faith. Thanksgiving is also a weapon of warfare. When you learn to thank God at, the Bible says, give thanks in all things, for that is the will of God. The condition is not the will of God. The act of thanking God in the midst of that condition is the will of God. The Bible says the earth has increase buried in it. It is thanksgiving that brings it out like treasures that are hidden under the earth. There is nothing that ever happens in my life that is reason enough for me not to thank God. I've trained myself. Hallelujah. You get up in the morning and you're saying, Father, thank you. You are faithful. I bless your name. Does it mean you don't have needs? Still thank Him. Does it mean everything is yet working? Still thank Him. Whether it works well for you, thank Him. Whether it's yet to work well, thank Him. After you have received the trophy, thank Him. Whether the child has arrived or not, thank Him. At the point the pregnancy comes, thank Him. Are we together? By the time you give birth, thank Him. With every passing day as you see that child, thank Him. The man who can thank God is the man who will never remain at the same level. When Jesus carried 5 loaves and 2 fish, the Bible says He gave thanks. He did not complain. Some of us complain too much. God, you have done this, but remaining this one. You have done this, but remaining this one. Please, tonight, let me bring you to a realm where you learn to be grateful. Grateful.
For you deserve the glory and the honor, Lord.